The triad is a lively scene. As springtime dances in, homeowners are ready to sell, and their built equity is a win. Great homes will be for sale, with a new deal behind each door. The Sharp Mortgage Team is excited to help in the spring of 2024. With wisdom and commitment, we'll help you chart your move. A quick conversation and pre-approval will get you in the groove. With pre-approval secured, you'll be steps ahead, you'll see, ready to embrace the home buying journey with confidence and glee. From cozy cottages to sprawling estates, you'll find the perfect fit, and your real estate agent's skill set help and determined grit. With a wealth of knowledge and a heart for your buying success, we'll navigate the housing market, ensuring nothing less. Don't let the media fool you. You deserve a wonderful new nest. With the Sharp Mortgage Team, you're poised for nothing less than the best. Embrace the warmth of springtime, flowers, and skies of blue. Partner with the Sharp Mortgage Team. We're always here for you.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. This is Jason Thiel, and this is the Downtown Winston-Salem Podcast. Today, we have Freddie Lee, who's a restaurateur, owns many restaurants throughout the community and throughout the state and the region, I suspect, and we'll hear all about it. But welcome, Freddie.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on to our podcast. And I know that many people may not know Freddie, but I know a lot of people probably do. But Freddie, tell us the restaurants that you own or are part owner of in downtown Winston-Salem.
So we own the restaurant, Blue Restaurant, which is on Frontier Street, and a part owner of Lasso Gaucho, which is the downtown Main Street, the Brazilian Steakhouse.
Right.
And the newly opened one is the Spotted Cows. It's like a family steakhouse.
Right.
And before that, we opened up Old Calcutta, which is a modern Indian restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
The oldest restaurant we have is Bananas, which is a kind of like a fine dining restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that almost like 30 years now, 30 plus years. So, and then we're affiliated with an Asian restaurant called Haka Chow, which is on Hensmore Boulevard. So those are all the restaurants we own. And the other one we just opened up this last year was Chibo Tutorial.
Uh-huh.
We moved from a smaller space to the larger space, an Italian restaurant. You know, so.
So I think that's a very impressive list for anybody who enjoys restaurants in the city, in downtown. And so I'll be the first one to say I thank you very much for investing in downtown and all the wonderful meals that you provided people over the years. And we'll get into some of that in a bit, but I wanted to ask you, Freddie, where did you, tell me about yourself personally, like where were you born and your family raised you?
So I was born in actually India called Calcutta, which is Kolkata right now, which is the Indian restaurant resembled to. When we left there, we migrated in New York City. I grew up in New York now. And then went to CI, Economic Institute of America and all. And then after that, I was working in a bunch of city in New York, a bunch of restaurants in New York City and all. And we decided to move down south. So we were supposed to move to Charlotte. We ended up in Winston-Salem. So our first restaurant opener was Bananas. That's how we started here. You know what I mean?
Were you in the ownership of restaurants when you were in New York City?
No, we were supposed to open up a restaurant in New York City in Upper East Side.
Uh-huh.
It didn't happen, so I decided to move down south. So,
well, talk about a difference in climate between just population and speed and traffic and environment, New York City to Winston-Salem, right?
Yes, it was a shock when we first moved down. So we used to, when I first moved down here, we used to drive back every weekend. Like, we used to be closed Sunday, so we leave Sunday morning and come back Monday morning to come back to work when we opened up an audience at times. So, but we got used to it.
Did you have other family in the ownership of Bernardin's at that time, or did?
Yeah, it was my cousin who opened up Sichuan Palace, who's the one who recruited me to come down. He moved down from Philly, too. So he told me that it would be nice to open up a fine dining restaurant in Winston-Salem, because at that time wasn't any fine dining restaurant. The restaurant we had in Winston was, I think, it was La Chardier, and then Nobles opened up, and they have like Bistro 900. I don't know anybody know that,
uh-huh.
You know. So it wasn't any fine dining restaurant down here.
How about that? And you know, you lived in some of the world's biggest cities, New York City and Calcutta, and then you're in a city of like 250,000, and the pace of life had to be a little slower.
It's not bad when you have family. Actually, it's not. I mean, you don't really get to do a lot of stuff when you have kids and all. So we moved down here. We have a son who was born. So.
Well, how about that? How many children do you have, Freddie?
Three kids. Wow. No, I mean, one lives in Singapore, one lives in Chapel Hill, Durham area, and the other one actually graduated from UNC Greensboro, is helping out in the restaurant in Bananas right now. So,
congratulations. Yeah, so. Do you ever get over to Singapore to see your
oldest? Yeah, we went last year. I was there for 3 days.
I've always wanted to go. It's a very beautiful city.
It's a beautiful city. It's very cultural, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so. I've always wanted to travel to there and several other cities that are far abroad, and I think that would be cool. Are you able to speak many different languages, Freddie?
I do speak a lot of language. I speak three different dialects in Chinese, wow. Two different dialects in Indian, a little bit of Arabic, and Spanish, you know what I mean?
How old were you when you left Calcutta?
12.
12. So you still have memories of your time?
Yeah, we still go back a lot because my dad still owned a factory out there. We go own a tanning leather factory, a manufacturing factory. So they still go back and forth. We do a lot of business between European countries like London and Germany and all. So we go back a lot and stuff like that. And we still have the factory back there, which my brother is managing right now.
So your family owns a factory back in India?
Yeah.
And did your parents meet at in school, or how did they?
My parents meet at school. I think when they moved from I guess Hong Kong and all during the I guess my grandmother during the communist time, they all immigrated up there. You know, so
that's pretty cool. Yeah. What part of New York City did you move to when you were 12?
Queens.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you went to high school and middle school in Queens, public schools?
No, Brooklyn, actually.
Parochial schools, Catholic
Saint
schools?
Joseph,
yeah. So. How about that? I went to Catholic school through the eighth grade myself. Yeah. And did you play any sports or anything like that?
Not really. I was a bum. I was always hanging around on the street.
No. Did you like to do anything like skateboarding or anything?
No,
like
actually, I started actually in the restaurant. I like working in the restaurant. I work working in the restaurant where I 15, 16 years old, that's how we get started and all.
Did you start in the kitchen?
Yeah, in the kitchen, dishwasher, yeah.
So everybody starts as a dishwasher, don't they?
And then after that, we decided to work in Manhattan with Little Italy. Mm-hmm. So we used to shuck oyster and clams and all, decided like it was fun.
Little Italy,
America, you know.
Interesting people in Little Italy?
Yeah, a lot of interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
what years was that?
A long time ago.
85,
86, and all. So around that time, you know. So.
And so you lived in New York City for how long?
I lived in New York City about 12 years.
It's a long time.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
So you know the city well.
Oh, I know the city. I go back to the city every other month. We go back there and all. You know, I take all the guys, some of the kitchen guys, to see the city because a lot of people in the city, think all they know is tourist areas. So I take them to neighborhoods, different neighborhoods and stuff like that.
You guys eat and look at inspiration.
Yep. You know, we go up to see Yankee game. I'm a big Yankee fan and Giants fan. So
Yankees and Giants?
Yep.
Do you follow hockey?
I follow hockey, Rangers and the Knicks, you know what I mean?
The Knicks. I'm a Sixers fan, so you guys beat us. But we got you in the first game of the two series.
We finally got better right now. He was so bad. Finally we got that guy, General Brunson.
He's really good.
So
yeah, his father played at my alma mater at Temple University, but then his son went to Villanova. That's kind of a bummer. But you were around 25 when you moved down to Winston-Salem?
Yeah, I was 25 to 26 when I moved down here, yeah.
When the weather warms up, so does the real estate market. Sounds obvious, right? It's true. Spring typically means more home sales. But how will the current interest rates affect people's decisions? What about inventory? Is it high or low? And does that benefit the buyer or the seller? And how do those factors take into account a certain price point or area of the triad? Now it's not so obvious, is it? That's why you should turn to the Ginther Group to make sense of it all. You need someone you can rely on to assess your situation, read the data and trends, and steer you in the right direction. Interest rates, inventory, even new construction. There are so many factors that impact our local market. And you should get your information from the folks right here in our backyard. Contact Blake Ginther and the Ginther Group today, 336-283-8689, or visit theginthergroup.com. Buying, selling, investing, or just learning, whatever you need, start now. And like me, you can become a Ginther Group client for life.
And did you meet your wife in New York City, or did you meet her?
My first wife. The second wife I met down here.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, no.
That's great.
I got two kids from the second wife. First kid from the first wife.
I understand. I mean. And so when you first moved down here, what was your role in Bernardin's? Were you in the front of the house?
No, I was back. I was the chef, so my bro was front of the house, Terry, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So.
You still know how to cook and use a knife and...
I cook every day. That's what I do. I was preparing sauces and all. And Carol texted me, you got a podcast. I said, oh my God, I forgot. Okay.
Do you do all kinds of food and culinary styles?
I do. I cook all different cuisine and all. You know, I cook Indian, Chinese. So when I was growing up and all, I was working in Italian restaurant, then I work in a Chinese restaurant too, you know. So then I work in a bunch of fine dining. I work in Tribeca Grill in New York, which is owned by Robert De Niro.
Wow.
I did my intern in Le Cirque, which is the chef that time was Daniel Boulud.
Yeah.
Then I work at Rue Cafe with Charlie Palmer over there, you know, David Burke, you know. So.
That's pretty cool. Do you feel like... do you have people that you are helping to learn the craft of culinary skills and helping them start new careers? And
I think I did help a lot of people, but right. I mean, like, you know, I think so, you know what I mean? So.
Well, it's hard work, and I think that, you know, most people maybe they don't realize that, you know, a lot of restaurants start and don't succeed, and yours... And I think people view you as some restaurant whisperer, like you really know what you're doing. But I bet that comes from hard work and experience and having a good instinct. But one of the things that I really loved was that when you bring restaurants like Bernardin's and Oak Calcutta and SIBO, it's like you're bringing a broad flair of different types of foods. Like you don't just do the same thing again.
No, I don't. I get bored really fast. So that's one thing I do. Like, I like to do all different concepts. I cook a lot of different concepts. And also, I don't like to stay with one concept. That's why everything I do is always a little different on all of them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So.
I think Winston-Salem is always ready for a new concept and is always excited for a new restaurant. And Oak Calcutta was something that seems to just, everybody seems to love. We just celebrated your first anniversary. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
Now, how do you decide who you're going to partner with? I know you partnered with Gopal.
Yes.
And did you guys meet? And I read in the newspaper, in the Winston-Salem Journal, that you guys had met earlier in life.
So I know Gopal from first grade. So I've known him for about like 8-9 years.
In Calcutta.
So when he migrated here, we met back up again.
Now, how did you guys reconnect? Like, how did you guys both know that you were here in Winston-Salem?
So he was working at working for a company who do all the welding. That's what he used to do. Mm-hmm. And then he worked for a company somewhere in New York and all. And then he talked to my mom, I'm down here, so he found me down here. So he moved down here and decided, like, he don't like welding anymore. So he went to Guilford Tech to study a mechanic. He studied mechanic, then he decided he don't want to be a mechanic, so he would become a salesperson selling car. Mm-hmm. So then he got bored with selling car. He said, let's open an Indian restaurant. I said, okay.
I think that's fantastic. Like, he works, you know, every day in the automotive industry, and he also owns a restaurant. I mean, that's, he must be very busy, probably not as busy as you.
No, actually, he don't sell car anymore. You don't want to sell.
He doesn't do it anymore. He just has to dedicate all of his time to
their...
Just all
his time in a restaurant now, so...
Well, that's fantastic. I have to say, it's a tremendous... I have moved around the United States a bit in my life, but nothing compared to the travel experiences that you have. So I would say that one of the things that it seems to me that you're not done yet, that you might have other inspirations that might lead you to look at other restaurants or other types of foods or transitioning different types of foods. Is there anything that you could share that you think is that you guys are exploring or anything? I don't want
to. We have actually a lot of things exploring, but I don't want to say it right now until I get to the point. And we are doing something, but until I get to the point, I always think this way in Asian way, like, if you're not done yet, do not say, otherwise jinx it, you know?
Yeah, I
agree.
That's
how I look at it that way, you know what I mean?
Well, I think that the world of food is constantly evolving and changing.
Food, I mean, everything is, every year I see something changes and all, you know? I mean, just the way you cook and stuff like that. And you never stop learning. That's why I travel everywhere, just something like, you know, learn about food and all. You know, I mean, I may take 2-3 days off, go somewhere and come back and all. So, well, you know.
The one thing I love about restaurants is restaurants are places, at least places where you sit down and you have formal dining service. There are places where people want to go and have a social time with other people. Like, I believe humans want to be around other people. And that's why downtowns are really kind of the same thing. People, I believe, often either want to be in total seclusion in a rural area, in a rural setting, or they would rather be in a very urban area where they're around a lot of people. And I think some people like living in a suburban location too, and that's also a setting, but I don't know if they enjoy sitting at traffic lights all day long, but I do think people enjoy sitting and dining together, and I think they always will. And I just, so I think the thing that restaurants will forever be a place for people to spend time and enjoy people's company. And I think your restaurants really do a great job. And obviously you spend a lot of time thinking about the interior design, the ambiance of a location. But I think the location at next to the Nissen building where O Calcutta was, it had been through a number of iterations and most of them didn't work. And some people said, well, maybe this location just isn't viable. Like sometimes some spaces just don't seem to want to work, but your spaces always work.
It's all about, getting good food to people, getting good service, and all about having fun for people to come in to dine and all, you know. That's the whole thing about, you know, I mean, people want to go to a place where you have good food and good drinks and all, and a good place, good environment, friendly environment, you know what I mean? So,
have you had any people who were influential in your food life that you met that were chefs that, I know you mentioned a few earlier, but any that really took you under your wing or anything like that?
I had a few friends that I work with. One of my friends was one of my really close friends. He was a chef at Tribeca Grill down Pindabona, so he used to travel the world and all. That's met him at when we opened up Tribeca Grill in New York and Tribeca, which is owned by Robert De Niro and all. The guy who owned Tribeca Grill owned like Montrachet, owned a bunch of other concept and all, and they own Michelin star restaurants. So, you know, so he was one of my inspiration. When I worked with Daniel, I see Daniel below, right, expanded in. He gave me a lot of inspiration for that. Mm-hmm. Another course friend of mine, which I actually trained him, Michael Mina. Right now, he owns about 40 concept right now in Vegas, Washington, and Miami, and all those areas too. We still friends, you know what I mean? So we see friends and I'll talk to her. They give a lot of inspiration on that. So,
do you watch the Food Network at all?
Not so much on Food Network. I do visit from my friends' restaurants, stuff like that, right. You know what I mean? I go out work with them a little bit sometime. And if I go to travel, I always hook up with somebody, chef in different country, and work with them with this and so like that, you know what I mean?
It's time to get serious about your financial future. It's never too early, but it could be too late to get started. And that's oftentimes the hardest part, getting started. How much do I save? Where do I invest? Do I save for college or retirement? How much for each? And who do I talk to about it all? Okay, we'll keep things simple for now and help you answer the last one. We recommend you begin with a local financial advisor. And that's Jennifer Johnson of Three Magnolias Financial Advisors. She'll sit down with you for a complimentary introductory consultation and go over all of your questions. Get started on the path to achieving your financial goals. Visit 3magnoliasfinancialadvisors.com or call 336-701-1600. Get comfortable with your financial future. 3 Magnolias Financial Advisors, retirement, financial planning, and investments. Securities offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through 3 Magnolias Financial Advisors. 3 Magnolias Financial Advisors and Cetera Advisor Networks are not affiliated. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity.
And on a totally different topic is you're an incredibly accomplished business owner and restaurateur and businessman. But tell us a little bit about, do you have time for any personal pursuits or hobbies? Do you like to read or anything like that?
I like to watch TV. Watching Netflix. when I'm not working, I binge watch a bunch of series. That's all I do. And like to go out to eat. I was eating.
So do you like to explore different restaurants or do you go to the same place again and again?
On Winston, I go to certain place all the time again. But if I'm out of town, I explore a different restaurant. You know what I mean? I usually go to every restaurant which I want to see, you know. So
I've got a couple wild card questions for you. And they're just questions I thought about asking any restaurateur. But how do you feel when you get positive and negative reviews on sites like Yelp or Google? How does that impact you as a business owner?
You appreciate to have a positive review. If you have a negative review, you look at it, see, and then you learn from the mistake, try to do better on it. That's all you could do on that, you know what I mean?
Sometimes you, life.
Yep, sometimes you can't satisfy everybody. I mean, if you get 95% to 98%, it's pretty good already. You know, that's how I look at it, you know what I mean? But you still learn from every mistake you do.
But everybody looks at that. All business owners, you think, look at that?
I think so. Most of business owners look at that.
The successful ones?
Yeah. So, you feel bad if people give you a bad review. That's mean you did something wrong or something like that. You don't feel good about it, but So.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you, I'm just happy that any restaurant survived the COVID pandemic and everything that's the high cost of food and labor cost increasing. It's not easy being a business owner these days.
The high cost of food actually still keep going up. Everything still keep going up, you know what I mean?
What are some of the real big culprits in the food costs that go up the most that have really peaked?
I say the meat, red meat. Red meat and seafood, you know what I mean?
I see that in the grocery.
Red meat is really high. Chicken, stable down a little bit. You know, red meat is the one that really went up a lot, you know what I mean?
I remember when the cost of eggs went up, that was, I'd never seen anything like that.
Yeah, it was one time. And dairy product like cream and butter and all, man, it went up 3 times, 4 times more now, the prices and all.
What, did they ever provide any, did you ever understand why that was happening? You, somebody that watches those prices, what was the reason for most of that?
This is a shorter supply because, like, even beef and all, they're not raising as much and not butchering as much now. So they're raising those prices up. And after the COVID, people realized, like, the market, like, I don't have to raise a lot of cow and all. I could raise my price so make the same amount of money. So that's what the trend mostly like. Going on right now.
Have you seen any changes in the way people want to eat over the last 30 years, your career, like the way that people want to, what foods they want to eat? Are they more healthy? Do they care about the like how much cholesterol is in their food? Do you see trends that kind of...
Not a lot of those. Actually, people are smart and eating right now, actually know more about food nowadays because of the Food Network and all. People actually have more knowledge on food than before now, you know what I mean? That's all I see on that. But trend-wise, not a lot. People like to share a lot of stuff. People like, you know, this used to people have their own entree. People right now, they like to share stuff and all on the table and all, you know, so...
Well, I just want to say, and we always like to keep our podcast down to less than a half an hour, and I always want to invite our listeners to get to know the people that are making a huge difference in our city and downtown. And Freddie, do you want to share anything else before we sign off?
I guess come and try all my restaurant out. I'm good. I mean, like, you know, well, I promise you're going to have good food. You know what I mean?
Well,
good drinks and all.
Spotted Cow just opened up, and that's a new steakhouse on Trade Street.
Yeah.
And people don't know where that is. That's on the 500 block where Sweet Potatoes was for a long time and where SIBO was for a long time. And now SIBO moved into a beautiful place on Liberty Street. You did a wonderful job with the renovation of that space.
Thank you.
I mean, that was a total...
It was a warehouse space. It was an old... I think it was in the 80s was a nightclub, right?
Yeah.
Before that...
Fane Office Supplies owned it, and there was a mural on the space for a long time. And it's just a beautiful space. I love the way that you did the interior decoration. People... That whole building, just people can't even imagine the upside. And thank you for that. And then backfilling the a steakhouse downtown. And what gave you, now that it's opened, I was talking to Carol Leggett. He's a good friend of both of ours. And he was telling me a little bit about the steakhouse right about when you were about ready to make it public. So I was really excited about it. And I love the name. It reminded me of like an English restaurant name. Was that the kind of the idea?
Yeah, because of my chef, was my partner right now too. He was saying it's because he went to Wisconsin or something. He had a Spotted Cow beer, and then it's cow. He says it's steak. It's a catchy name. It's kind of cool, but a cow little spot on it. It's like that would be a good name for us. You know what I mean? That's how we end up going with Spotted Cow. You know.
Yeah.
So.
You know. Freddie, I just want to say thank you so much. And if people, get out and support his businesses, Bernardin's, we got Spotted Cow, SIBO, Lasso Gaucho, which is the Brazilian steakhouse near City Hall at First Street. If you've never had Brazilian steakhouse, I mean, just... You can go and just get the salad bar, folks. I mean, that's actually quite a treat, too. But to the full Brazilian steakhouse opportunity, I really enjoyed that a lot, too. And so, you know, O Calcutta, we've talked about a lot. And just so, guys, get out and support Freddie and his businesses. He has other businesses throughout the region. Like you mentioned, the place out on Stratford Road, Blue, which has been around for a long time. And no one can forget Bernardin's. Did I miss anything?
No, sir.
All right. Well, Freddie, thank you so much for coming to our podcast.
Thank you for my days. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. Our mission is simple: provide information, advice, and stories about the people and places that make the North Carolina Triad such a great place to be. You can find us by searching Triad Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you like to listen. If you like what you heard and want to support the show and those that contribute, we would truly appreciate a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps spread the word along, as do your shares on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Triad Podcast. To get in touch with us, simply email info@triadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.